the most obvious thing is in the commandments, and it says, thou shalt not kill. And it doesn't sort of stipulate that it's just humans. It just says, thou shalt not kill. So it seems like a fairly clear commandment that it would be a reasonable Christian thing to include other animals within that compassion. There's also, of course, the early Genesis, where God says, I have given you every seed and fruit-bearing plant for your food, that these shall be your food. At no point does he say, you know, you should keep a bunch of animals in an abattoir and kill them, and that's fine. So there's like some very obvious things within the Bible that suggest that the right diet for us to have should be something that's more in line with a compassionate, plant-based, vegan diet.
But now, would it not be true to say that also in the Bible, that's before the fall, and that part of the whole acceptance nearly of the fall is that this is, among other things, one of the things that has happened. We have to toil for our bread, and we have animals who otherwise we'll starve if we don't have animals who give us the protein that we need, and many of the things. It's unfortunate, yes, but that's a lot of things are unfortunate, and as St. Paul says, all creation is groaning to be, you know, made right again. But in the meantime, we live where we live.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, but we do have the opportunity now to live as was laid out in paradise. So, you know, why wouldn't we want to try to move towards that when that seems to have been the original commandment? But even within Christianity, you know, I mean, there are some people who have argued, and I don't know how much arguing you can go into this, but when you look at it, when Jesus went into the temple, you know, he overturned the moneylenders, but people often forget that the other thing he overturned and was annoyed about was the animal sacrifices. He overturned them too. A lot of people argue that the Last Supper was a Passover, and it's very explicit that there's no lamb at the Passover. It's only bread and wine. You know, and you might ask, well, you know, why is there only bread and wine at this Passover? Why is there no lamb? And Jesus repeatedly says things like...
You mean in the actual account meal that we have?
Yeah, in the meal. I mean, Jesus repeatedly said, I am the Lamb of God. I am the sacrifice. Was he the last sacrifice to end all sacrifices? Was he trying to say, let's have no more sacrifice, let's have no more suffering, let's have more compassion? His entire message seems to have been around that. And his final meal was a vegan meal. I mean, I don't know how much you want to read into that, but it is interesting when Passover was very traditionally associated with lamb and sacrifice, that wasn't
mentioned in the Gospels.
That wasn't in his meal.
And it is, it's an interesting take on that. I mean, there are other theological takes on it in the sense that they were emphasising the bread and the wine and the body, and then that developed in Christianity. But this is interesting to see your vision. Would you say then, at core, your vision is for that all of creation was good, God saw that it was good, and that when we eat another animal, a sentient being, that we are inflicting pain and we have no right to do that, even though there are those who say, but we are at a much different level from them?
Yeah, I mean, there are people who would suggest that, you know, we're higher in some way, shape or form. But, you know, a lot of people have made those mistakes in the past. You know, the church in the past has said men are higher than women. The church in the past has said white people are higher than black people. We want to be careful about, you know, saying we are higher. We're the only ones with souls, because you have to remember that, like, previously we were mistaken about who were the only people with souls.
Sentient animals are cruel, I mean, to each other in the wilderness. They tear each other apart. Yeah. The lion is chasing. You've watched all the David Attenborough films. That's how nature is.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of truth in that, but we can't have it both ways. You know, we can't on the one hand say we're better than these animals and then, like, turn around and say, well, we should draw our morality from animals.
But we would say, would we not, we are better in that we try to kill them humanely.
Well, they're shot with a bolt through the head. I mean, how do you define humane? You
quick.
Know? Okay,
and we're not eaten alive the way a wildebeest is eaten alive by hyenas.
But what's the definition of humane? Take it out of the context of animals. Like, what does humane mean? You know, humane means deep compassion. If I say someone is humane, I don't mean that they've killed me quickly. If I minded your daughter or your son and I said, listen, do you know, I'll look after them humanely, and you come back and I've shot them through the head with a bolt gun, and I'd be like, well, they died quick, Pat. Do you know what I mean? That's grand. Like, they died quick. What are you complaining about? And you say, well, like, I didn't want you to kill my children. I said, well, look, lions kill their young all the time. Let's not get excited here. You know, what are you getting excited about? I kill them humanely. Like, the word humane is thrown around very quickly when it comes to how we kill animals. There's really nothing very humane about killing an animal or anybody who doesn't want to die. Like, if you were to say If a rapist said, look, I gave her a Rohypnol, she didn't even know I raped her. I raped her humanely. It's either right or wrong. You can't sort of apply the word humanely to something that is quite inhumane by any other standard.
Then what about fish, whom we might say are not really very sentient? We can say, and Jesus cooked fish and had them waiting at the shore for the apostles after his resurrection. He had the fish on the little fire.
Yeah.
He didn't seem too upset about it. Surely if it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us.
Yeah, certainly the fisherman is a tricky one because, I mean, the fisherman. But then Jesus did say, come away from fishing and be fishers of men. But he was calling people away from actually fishing and doing better work than being fishermen. But I think also you have to consider, what would Jesus do now? Like, and that was a different time and it was a different way of fishing. Like, now we've like depleted the ocean's resources to the degree that there will be no more fish in the sea if we continue to fish them. I mean, I don't think Jesus's message was, please deplete my entire creation of ocean to nothing and replace it with plastic. You know, I don't think he was preaching that from Mount Sinai. You know, that didn't seem to be, blessed are those who kill all of the creation in the ocean and put in plastic instead. I don't know that that would be Jesus' message.
And has veganism got an environmental aspect to it, as it's not just about compassion for animals? Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's also like an element of human rights to it, you know. And further, when we talk about social justice, a lot of the meat that we eat is being fed by grain that's being imported from countries where people are starving. So we're literally taking food from their plates to feed our animals. It's exactly what used to happen in Ireland during the famine. People were exporting grain and feeding cows while Irish people were starving.
I mean, what countries is that happening in?
In South America, the rainforests are being chopped down, indigenous people are being cleared from those to grow grain to feed cows and so on. I mean, it's sobering to think that there are 58 billion animals killed every year. So that's 58 billion animals that we feed. And there's like something like 1 billion people who don't have enough food to eat. Do you know, like, when you think about the maths of that, it's quite astonishing that we're able to feed 58 billion animals per year and kill them, and we can't provide food for the 1 billion people. That's quite, you know, I don't, again, think that that was a particularly Christian message. I think it's definitely a message that you have to challenge from a Christian perspective and say, what's going on with that? That there's no social justice there.
Why stop, given your logic, why stop and eat grains and fruit? Because that's living as well. I mean, it's pulsating with cells and life and growth. So, I mean, if I can't eat a prawn, you know, which is probably nearly a Moncel amoeba, I can't eat that, but somehow it's okay to eat an apple.
Yeah.
Well, how do you make that distinction? Surely it all just goes into, I shouldn't be eating anything.
I think it's common sense that an animal, like an apple, doesn't feel as much as a cow. If I were to say to you, look, will you cut that apple in half? Intuitively, you'd be like, grand, I'll just cut that apple in half. If I were to say, look, will you just shoot that cow in the head, do you know, or cut that cow in half, you'd probably feel a little bit differently about it. So I think there's an obvious intuitive answer there to some degree. But I mean, even if there is a concern where you're saying, well, I'm really concerned about plants, I'm concerned about grains, I'm concerned about eating vegetables and the pain and suffering that they feel, way more grains, 70% of the grains and the food and the stuff we grow is actually used to feed animals. So you would actually be using less grains and less fruit and less vegetables. But I think if you can live healthily, can live well, and I'm clearly alive and talking and breathing and so on. You know, I'm an athlete, I'm quite active, I'm not sort of sitting in a corner slowly wilting away. And it's been proven that we can live quite healthily as vegans. And so if you can do it, then why wouldn't you do it? I mean, it would be a different case if we were lions and there was no way we could live without meat and that we would die or whatever. But when you have a choice, and we do clearly have a choice, when people talk about the omnivore's dilemma, we do have a choice. We are ethical creatures. We are rational creatures. So the rational, ethical thing to do is to consider a diet that is more compassionate, causes less suffering, is better for the environment, and, you know, a lot of people say is actually better for your health.
Very interesting, very challenging reflections there. Thank you very much indeed, Miriam, for sharing your vision. I think in this time of Advent and coming up to Christmas, there is that vision, isn't there, that the lion will...
The lion will lie down with the lamb and a young child shall lead them. You know, I mean, there's actually tons of stuff in the Bible that's points to our being more compassionate towards animals. There's almost nothing in the Bible that says you should take control and you should overbreed these animals in a massive way. And just a small thought to leave people with, because when we pray, you know, we pray to God and we assume God is some kind of higher being, you know, so we ask God for mercy. We, a lower being, ask God, a higher being, for mercy. Jesus had a story about saying, don't ask for mercy until you show mercy. And so we are the higher beings when it comes to the lower beings. And they're asking for our mercy. And we're the gods in their case. We are their gods. And what kind of mercy do we show them? I hope that the God above is showing more mercy to us than we're showing to the lower beings over whom we rule and over whom we are gods.